choose to say that should be your name, yeah, yeah. And I am not alone.
Torrin Wells with Hills and Valleys on your Victory 91.5.
That's a good album. Just like five songs, but it's an awesome album. EP, I guess.
Always good to have just a little, but have them all powerful. I love that one.
And that's Royal Taylor is the band that Torrin Wells is from. So if you wonder if you recognize that voice, you know, right, no, I knew that voice.
That just literally like popped into my mind.
See,
like putting puzzles together one piece at a time.
It's what I do.
This is Keith and Ray. We are on talking about Passover. I've got Ray in. He's been here since 7 this morning teaching on Passover. And
still teaching.
And you are still going. And you're still going. We had a caller earlier just call in talking about the Catholic Church and Passover.
Right.
The contemporary Catholic Church and Passover. And so we kind of wanted to speak into that a little bit.
Sure, because it's fascinating as you journey back through time to see what happened and what parts, because you wonder today, if you go to a typical Protestant church or non-denominational, or it really doesn't matter where, most of them do not encounter Passover. Mm-hmm. There are some groups, there are obviously Messianic churches, and there are some Spirit-filled groups that do Passover, but your average ordinary that came down through the Protestant Reformation, they pushed that out, and it even through Martin Luther, if you go back and study his words, you know, a great man, but boy, he had some seriously words that were used by the Nazis. And it took this journey down through time that mm-hmm. was very, very rough. And so one of our listeners, we have a lot of really phenomenal Catholic listeners. And mm-hmm. so we've been blessed through the years to get to jump aboard some things, Amigos with Christ, in their water wells in Nicaragua, and they actually gave us a generator that we use whenever our power shuts off. So we had a great time, and it's interesting because one of our listeners was talking to my wife just now, Katrina, and was sharing that you talk about a journey through time here. So way back then, Constantine, you're in the first 300 years, and through these various councils that even the Protestant church recognizes, they were pushing and pushing and pushing Passover out. And she was saying, you know, in the modern day Catholic church, they actually most have observances of Passover. Mm. So while it was originally pushed out there, they found a way to bring it back in and honor and show esteem. Yet still on the Protestant side, there's still a lot of work to do mm-hmm. to regather. So if you wonder where it went, it's just a little piece of history there, and you really have to go back and find a way to put it in, because even our calendar throws it out. Mm-hmm. So you have to take the steps to do that. And I appreciate Katrina calling just because it's a good thing to realize that it has to be intentional. It's not going to just, Passover is not going to jump on you as you walk by. Mm. You're going to have to go and reclaim those things to recognize and to really encounter God that way. And I just got to say, through my life, I was blessed because as a child, we celebrated. So it was something that first revealed Jesus to me. So it's obviously a very dear heart, a part mm-hmm. of my heart. So, but I appreciate the call just to add that clarification, because we certainly don't want to leave any confusion there. Mm-hmm. So it was pushed out. It was pushed and pushed and pushed, and a few are just bringing it in back and bringing it in and bringing it in. There's some, back the Atlanta area, a lot of great Messianic congregations, too, will have Passover Seders. I know Beth Hillel in Roswell is having theirs, I think, Saturday. Usually they sell out. Mm-hmm. They're very powerful encounters if you've never been to an official Seder. So if you want to do that, you can simply call one of the Messianic congregations that are having it and get you a chance to encounter. I'm going to kind of take you through the Passover elements over the next probably hour or so. In Passover, there are things to do that have meaning, and there are things to eat that have meaning. What more do you need to hear than that? Well, that's still Passover. So the first symbol of Passover is light. Every Friday night at sunset, at Jewish Sabbath meals, the woman of the household has the honor of lighting the festival lights. So likewise, to begin the Passover Seder, the woman of the household has the honor of lighting the festival lights at sunset. So light is a symbol of God's presence. And the question you have to ask is, why does a woman light the candles? Now, unfortunately, in many homes, that question, as David always shares, you growing up in a Jewish household, you don't get the symbolism all the time. You're going through a ritual. But Eve led the human race into sin, but God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus who would redeem mankind. So it's interesting to notice that Eve was the first to fall and the first to be redeemed. That's powerful. God is always about redeeming, and it doesn't even matter how bad the mess up is. He's there to redeem it. So the prayer you pray, this is in English, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, commanded us to kindle the festival lights." So I just want to encourage you, if you're here from the South and you're going through Passover Seder, so they'll give you the phonetic sayings in Hebrew, and it's kind of nice, but if you're from the South, you're probably never going to pronounce them right anyway. So go with English, unless you just want to have fun. It's just the burden we bear. I remember our early, when Corey was like 3 or 4, we were doing a Passover Seder in Baruch Atah. I was going, okay, let's just shift back to English here. So it's fun. It should be a family time. It should be an awesome time that you get to encounter God. But I want you to see, God's not looking for Adam and Eve's anymore. He's looking for Mary's. He's looking for people that can, he's not looking at people who can follow rules. We all fail. It's the burden we bear. He's looking for people who allow him to be born in them. He wants to reveal Jesus. So that's why Mary has a significant part in when that woman steps in there. You know, for so many households, they don't recognize what they're doing, but they're allowing the light to come back into the world. The washing of hands is the next part. John 13 begins the Passover, and it continues until the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I want to walk you through how Jesus changes the Passover at the Last Supper. Number one was the washing. The Old Testament priests would do this elaborate bathing process to be clean so they could serve. For thousands of years, the priests misunderstood that this was a shadow of the Messiah. Instead, they saw themselves as too clean to touch the unclean and the hurting people. And you see this throughout the New Testament. The Bible says Jesus got up from the Passover meal, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet. So talk about flipping it. Instead of washing himself, he washed their feet. Profound difference. That's why when Peter says, I'd just rather have a whole bath. I don't want you to wash my feet, because it was offensive for a master to wash his feet. It was humbling. And it was always so hard for him to understand, because he'd grown up with the symbol of the master being clean, and now he's washing. And, you know, it really threw the entire Passover off. It just blew his mind. So he knew that he was doing something wrong from a Passover perspective. Plus, he's washing his feet, and then he's going to touch their food, which is kind of gross. So who knows where the direction was coming, but he knew something was wrong. And Jesus said, being clean or holy enables you to serve the unclean and the hurting people. So he's teaching them a very profound lesson. I'm not just making you clean because you're sinful, but there's a purpose behind this. I want you to serve people. The other thing that was significant to change here is called the sop. Jesus gives it to Judas. It should have been given to Peter, James, or John, because it goes to your close friend, your beloved. Taking the sop is, in a sense, it's almost like a marriage. It's saying, you're my beloved, and receiving it, I said, yes, I love you with all my heart. So it was, it's an encounter. Now, in modern days, a lot of times you put all the various things in it, including horseradish usually, so sometimes you're just making it in a fun way to really light somebody on fire. But originally, it was a very sweet thing. So, again, Peter, he's confused. He's a zealot. He knows when things are done wrong in a Passover Seder. So he gets defensive, saying, wait, I would never betray Jesus. And, of course, he again misses the purpose of the change in the tradition. Jesus washed Judas's feet and gave him the sop, and he's saying, son, I know what's in your heart, and I am your only hope, because he was a friend of sinners, not an accuser. So looking at the future, not the history in Egypt, Jesus is revealing who he is as Messiah, and he talks about the Father and the Holy Spirit. So they're not going back in history to give a history lesson. When you read this in John, you're reading how he's preparing them for the future to go forth. So he talks about peace. John 14, my peace I give to you. He's in this part of the Seder, you dip an egg in salt water. It's the peace offering. He's dividing up this roasted egg among them, and he says, eat this. And he's shining a light on all the sacrifices of the past, and he's saying, this is more than an offering for your failures. It's my peace that I give to you. You don't have to make sacrifices anymore. I'm about to die for the sins of the world. Because Jesus was the meal. He was the water. He was what it was all about. God serving fallen man, rescuing, redeeming, becoming the Passover. And then Jesus messes up the watch night service. Absolutely. You're supposed to stay in the room and pray. And he takes them to the garden to wait for the death angel to come for him. So he preaches and then he prays. They all fall asleep. And clearly none of them are the oldest son, but Jesus is. And the guards are coming to take him to his death. So why did he change the tradition? After closing the Passover dinner, Jesus had to leave the city because the atonement lamb's body was always offered up to God outside the city walls. A significant thing. If you were celebrating the Sunday as Palm Sunday, you might have thought, well, they're entering the city, they're laying down palms. But that wasn't all. It was also when the lamb was brought in to for the sacrifice. So that was when you set apart and said, this is the lamb I choose and I accept this lamb. So when they're throwing down the palm branches, they're receiving the lamb. That was so the Israelites understood that in a much deeper sense. But when you get to Gethsemane as part of the Seder, Judas shows up. Now, remember, he just had his feet washed. He ate the sop. He said, yes, I do love you. You're my beloved. He was the bride of Christ in that moment. So he's come into the garden as Eve would have come to the garden. And again, filled up with a snake inside. And just like Eve in the first garden, Judas betrays him. And Jesus says with the kiss, he says, wow, isn't this familiar? The same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. And so it's a very unusual encounter when you take it and put it in the context of the Passover meal. But that meal, that Last Supper, has a lot more meaning.
If you've missed any of the parts earlier this morning with our Passover teaching with Ray Haynes, you can go to our Victory Facebook page and be able to click on those, be able to listen back, maybe even just get your family together this weekend and listen to a few of them and just be able to make this yours. Make this an important time in your family's life. We're going to come back with Ray Haynes once again with part number 13.